Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
John Canzano. Raw. Sourced. Fresh. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, built by high-caliber millwrights, this is the Bald-Faced Truth.
2 years ago, I said goodbye to some of the staff on this radio show. Travis Wershkowitz was among them. Right when I learned how to pronounce his last name, he announced as part of the show that he was going off to the Peace Corps. He is back from the Peace Corps, his exclusive tour of Indonesia. I warned him against it. I said it was a terrible decision. Do not go in the Peace Corps. You're going to a Muslim country. You don't know anything about this. What are you going to do down there? You're liable to not come back. He has emerged back, and he says it's the best decision he ever made in his life. So much for my advice. Travis is back in studio. He's among our guests on today's show, and I've dragged him on air here just for a few minutes. How are you, man?
I'm living the dream. Like you said, best decision of my life. It was hard to come back, but it's nice to be in Portland for a little bit.
Now, give us like the Cliff Notes version of Indonesia. For people who haven't been there, what was it like? You walk in as an American.
Yeah, most beautiful country I've been to. I don't have a lot to compare it to, but island country, most populous Muslim country. Biggest culture shock was just getting off the airplane. You're taking a bus and you see six people on a single motor scooter all crammed in. Two women each holding a child on the back with one guy driving it. And it's the most populated island in the world, 141 million people on an island the size of California. So I learned I was claustrophobic while I was there. But all those people are very kind-hearted, welcomed me into their house and hearts, and I loved it.
We were down at Starbucks when I met you earlier, and I ordered using the mobile app, and you went, oh, you can order using your phone now?
Yeah.
They don't have that in Indonesia.
Not that I saw. They do have delivery. I liked what you said. Uber Eats is pretty much the equivalent here, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah, that caught me off guard.
That was a new, it's like you've been in a coma.
Yeah,
a little bit. American coma for 2 years.
A technological coma, yeah. At least. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the things that. What is it? How do they treat Americans? First of all.
Oh man, just nice, and that's not limited to Americans. People there are just hospitable to anybody and everybody. But as I was telling you off air, the soft power of America was definitely evident. Of like the power of cool is still there, regardless of politics, anything that might have negative connotation, the power of Hollywood, of how many people knew actors, movies, stuff like that. And then the power of sports. I think that was really interesting to me. I don't think I told you about this, but I met up with a group that played basketball at the local university, and they were the first people. Anybody I'd tell I'm from Oregon, nobody knew that until the basketball people were like, oh, Portland, do you know Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum?
Yeah, I hang out all the time.
Yeah, exactly. My best friends. But those were the people who actually knew where I lived versus... Do you know Los Angeles? Do you know Brad Pitt? Do you know Justin Bieber, even though he's Canadian?
We all know Brad Pitt and Justin Bieber. How about like Alabama Adriana? If like a 5'9" blonde was to show up in Indonesia, would she be like Fonzie?
Yes. Oh, definitely. It's very... because these people, like, that's a weird thing about Indonesia and Java, where I was specifically, is like just how homogenous it is, and everybody looks very similar. Everybody has the same skin tone, the same features. So you see a light-skinned person, and that's just different. There were people who had literally never seen an American before in my village. And so people, a lot of other Peace Corps volunteers, they struggled with the staring and the attention you get. Anywhere you get, people acknowledge you. You're the center of attention at any party, any room, any bus you get on. It's hard to get away. I learned I was claustrophobic and more shy than I realized going in. But that being said, like, I don't know. I remember this is like maybe a weird comparison, but the first time I ever saw snow when I was 5 years old, I was fascinated by it. I wanted to play with snow. I wanted to look at it. And somebody who's never seen an American before, they're fascinated by that. I don't find anything wrong with people staring at me when they've never seen me before.
I'll get into the Peace Corps. I want to talk about how they watch the Super Bowl. I also, we were talking off air about this. They have Tinder in Indonesia. What is it like to be an American on Tinder in Indonesia?
The odds were definitely in my favor as an American on Tinder. To quote The Hunger Games, I'd say people, I did okay for myself.
I think the phrase was, it's like playing Tinder on God mode.
Yes, that phrase has been tossed around
is that, but how did, like, because you go down there as a single guy, and that was where I was really worried about you. Like, I was like, he's going down there, single American, you're in a country, I Googled it, and I was like, huge Muslim population, how are they going to treat him? Yeah. You dated.
I did. I had a couple different girlfriends at different times down there. I didn't date anybody in my village. I will say, like, it's still, like, very conservative. It's similar to parts of the U.S. are very conservative, and it's very, if you hit it off with a woman, you're expected to marry her. I think dating's not really, really a thing, depending, a lot of people, it's very, my host mom, when her daughter had a boyfriend for a long time, my host mom would always say, this is her best friend, and then her niece would correct her, no, that's her boyfriend. She's like, no, best friend.
Best friend.
So it was very, it's all the devil's in the details, right? So it just depends where you live. In the city, the people that I had my dates with and the girls I saw did not live close to me because I didn't want to give the illusion that there was marriage in my future. I have no idea where my life will take me. And there are people who are fine with that. But in the smaller villages, and it's a conservative society of where if a woman were to come to my house, they would open all the doors and, like, they don't even want the illusion that I'm at home alone with a girl, let alone in the house or in my room alone with a girl. I had a female friend come and visit me and she stayed with a different host family, even though we had three empty rooms. They wanted her to stay in a different house just for their own comfort level.
Former BFT cast member Travis is with us, Mensa member, for those who are longtime listeners of the show. So you leave, you go to in the Peace Corps, the Oregon Ducks football program falls off, the Blazers kind of move sideways, had a little uptick this last season, Oregon State went through hell in football, also marijuana legalization, there's a dispensary on every corner now in the state of Oregon. What's the attitude towards marijuana in Indonesia?
It's definitely a very anti-drug, anti-marijuana area. My same host mom warned me about drugs. I was telling you, people have been killed in Indonesia for drug possession in the last year or so.
If you have marijuana on you and you're in Indonesia, they get you. That's like, that could be the death penalty?
It can be. I don't know the exact details of what leads. I think it's more selling marijuana that would give you the death penalty. But possession is like, it can carry up to 5 years in prison, in Indonesian prison.
That's crazy.
But like the other weird thing is, it's well known there's a certain part of Indonesia where they're like, that's where they grow all the weed. Like people know these things of, that's the area. It's known for its weed and its coffee. And even people know, people would tell me, like, yeah, they have this weed soup that if you ever go there, you got to try it. I'm like, yeah, but people get, like, arrested for that here. And they're like, yeah, but over there, like,
it's cool there.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Travis is with us, former BFT cast member. He's now going into an MBA program at the University of Florida, where he'll go on to do great things, of course. But let's talk about the Super Bowl, because you sent me an email right around the Super Bowl. Yep. You went to a place called At America?
Yep. At America.
At signed America.
Yes, sir.
In Indonesia.
Yep.
What was At America like?
So it was unreal. I went both years. We went the first year and then the second year went back.
First of all, what'd you hear about At America first and what proved to be true?
So it is technically a museum, a cultural museum, put on in part by the U.S. Embassy, has some ties to it. They host school trips. People in the Peace Corps took their classes there to learn about American culture. And one part of American culture is the Super Bowl, a very large part for somebody like me. And we were told you go there and they have a big movie theater with the game playing. It has American commercials. It has all-you-can-eat Starbucks and Krispy Kreme. And then we had heard rumors that there was all-you-can-drink beer.
Free beer.
Free beer,
free Starbucks, free Krispy Kreme.
Yes, and free corn dogs.
And free corn dogs.
Yeah.
That's America.
Yeah, in a nutshell. Yeah. And we were skeptical. So the first time, our friend who likes to tell tall tales had told us all about it, and only four people bought into it, showed up. We went. The legends were true. Everything was true. It was all there. It was all free to get in.
Yeah.
Went and we watched.
Who'd you go? Like, who went with you?
It was three of my American buddies. So a guy, we had one friend from Connecticut, diehard Pats fan, a dude from El Paso, and then a friend from North Carolina and myself who didn't have, this was the Eagles Patriots Super Bowl, the first one. And my buddy from Connecticut, he won a. They also had a giveaway with free things, so he won a Tom Brady jersey randomly. meanwhile, like Indonesians are getting like Russell Wilson jerseys, who don't know who Russell Wilson is.
Right.
But we watched the game, one of the best Super Bowls ever, and we had to console my friend. Luckily, he had free beer to drown his tears in as the Pats lost that devastating Super Bowl.
How many beers do you drink if you're getting free beer at a Super Bowl?
So I think I topped out at about 11 or 12, and we call it. I'll change the names to respect the innocent, but we call it going for a record if you can hit 17. That was the number another volunteer
hit. He had 16 beers.
Yeah, 17 by the end.
He had 17 beers.
Yeah.
What was he like at the end of the game?
He didn't stay conscious for the car ride home. He stumbled a little bit. He took a tumble. There was tiered seating, and he made his presence known. I'll just put it that way.
Ugly America.
Yeah. He represented both the good and the bad.
How did they watch the game? Because the room had to not be filled with Americans. Like, Indonesians are there going, this is America.
So it was, I'd say, 70-30 Americans or expats, because it was in Jakarta. So it's a primary, there's a large expat community. Mm-hmm. And then there's Indonesians who don't know, who I think were friends of people. And they have one guy who I believe is tied to the embassy in some capacity on the microphone explaining the game of football, explaining the cultural significance. Sometimes they'd explain commercials and stuff like that, because that's such a big part of the culture now, even. Sure. And he'd explain the rules of football.
So what is he saying? Like, it's second down. They have four tries.
Exactly. Like, four tries to go for it. They're punting now. That means they're going to kick the ball away, and the other team's going to have possession. And their goal is to get into
in America.
That marked area. Yeah. So just more or less explaining the game, because nobody... When I try to explain American football, they're like, oh, like rugby. I'm like, not, no, like, I get where that's your closest comparison, but it's not like rugby.
Fascinated by this. Alabama Adriana, you have a question. He's been in the Peace Corps the last 2 years. What question do you have?
I don't really know. I just think that's really cool. And now you're going to do your master's program in Florida.
Yeah, that's right.
And part of his thing is, I don't know if you knew this, Adriana, but you have to go in the Peace Corps now. Like, that's what happens, because he was sitting in your seat just 2 years ago, Travis, is that right?
Yeah, a little more, 2.5.
Wow. What do you remember of your time on the show? What was it like?
I liked it. Probably the most fun job I've ever had. I think, as cliche as it is, there's nothing better than just talking sports and life for 3 hours a day, every day. I think that's what I like about your show, especially, is it's not necessarily limited to sports. I mean, we're talking about my time in Indonesia right now. I don't know that everybody necessarily cares, but I think
People care. I think people are glued to this that are listening to it. And Adriana, what's up?
I did think of a question. Yeah. What are you getting your master's degree in?
Business administration. So I don't know what I'm doing with it, I'll be honest with you. But I got a full tuition scholarship, and that always helps.
That's good stuff. I also, you and I were talking over coffee about sort of how the viewing habits of people have changed in sports with Twitter. And I'm curious, being in Indonesia, you're removed from it. There's a time difference. You're as far away as you can get. And yet people there still knew about CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard. And I'm going to ask this of our audience, sort of the viewing habits of an American sports fan, what they think has changed. What takeaways do you get being far away? How disconnected did you feel from American sports?
So it's a weird, like, I didn't feel all that disconnected. And as I was telling you, it's a testament to how we consume sports media nowadays of, I may not be streaming the game. I may not be seeing every Blazers game, every Ducks game, but I hear you talk about it. I hear five other people talk about it.
So you're listening to the podcast.
I can listen to the podcast. I can read columns. I can follow. And then it's interesting how that shapes my own opinion. Like, my buddy, the friend from Connecticut, we talk and it's like, oh man, I think Zion Williamson's legit. Well, I don't actually know. I haven't seen a single dunk. I've seen a dunk of his, but I haven't seen 40 minutes of him going up. But just everything I hear is he's legit. Now that's my opinion based on nothing I've seen with my own eyes, technically.
Is anyone watching anymore? That's what I wonder.
Yeah. Like, I think select people, like playoffs, big moments, people watch. But the day in, day out, I don't know. Like, I didn't miss it as much as I thought I would be.
When Damian Lillard hits the game 5 shot against Oklahoma City, where are you?
Yeah, so I was at my favorite cafe because they have the fastest Wi-Fi. I had, and it was, that game started at 9 a.m. my time. That happened around 12:20, I think, is when he actually hit that shot. And I know that because beginning at 12 p.m., my stream cut out, and I'm just pressing refresh for 20 minutes. Finally, the stream comes back in, only for me to hear the announcer saying, "That's one of the most incredible shots I've ever seen." But I don't even know who hit it. When I tuned out, the Blazers were down by like 6 or 8 with 6 minutes left. So I don't know if Paul George has hit something incredible. Did Dame do something? Finally, I see it and I see the celebration, but then I'm on Twitter scrolling to refresh to finally see the shot on Twitter 5 minutes later, and you're seeing it from 5 different angles. They had the 4-cam multi-cam where you could see it, and you see it even though like I missed it in the exact moment. Within 5 minutes, I had seen everything and had my own opinion.
Did you feel like you missed anything because you didn't see it live, or is it like, oh, you know what? We don't need to see it.
I don't think you need to, because I mean the saddest thing or the best thing, depending on how you look at it, is you have Twitter. And now it's not about, like, it's almost not about having that moment of seeing it. At least I wish it was, but it's more about what's your opinion on that moment. And I had 200 opinions on that that could shape my own opinion. And it's kind of weird in that maybe I wasn't making my own organic free thought of it, but I could then base it off of others. And I'm somebody who in turn likes to play off of others anyways. So I can see what people like, what I want to tweak, what I do agree with, what I disagree with. And you have all of that at the click of a button.
Have you ever heard the call, the live call, the radio call, the TV call locally of Lillard's shot?
I don't know if I have. Yeah. I may have, but I may not have.
I'm going to play it here. All right. Here's game 5, 37 feet. Here's the Blazers TV call first.
George will defend Lillard. Spread floor. Lillard with 47 tonight. Working it down to 2-1. A deep three. Oh!
What?
Blazers win the series. A walk-off three from Lillard. Damian Lillard from way downtown.
Kevin Calabro on the call there. Here's Brian Wheeler on the radio call.
Lillard now in front against George. 5 seconds. George back it up. Lillard doesn't want to pick. Dame going for the win. A three-pointer for the game.
Yeah! There it is. There it is. You've heard it now.
I love it.
That's, you know, it, to me, it's fascinating to hear your stories. We could do a whole show on this. Yep. But we'll bring you back another time. And if something happens in Florida, we'll drag you back on air.
Of course. I love it.
All right. Travis, I appreciate you. And I want to put this out to our listeners. He mentioned and touched on the way that we're watching sporting events. Are you a live watcher? Are you somebody who watches a game wire to wire? Are you somebody who joins a game in progress only if it's good enough? I think we value our time, and there's so many options today that we're watching and consuming games in different ways than we ever have. I want you to tell me how you watch your sports. 503-417-7575. You can weigh in. And Travis, any of your Indonesian friends going to visit the U.S.? Is that an easy trip?
Inshallah, they will come here. That means God willing. So I got some people that I won't say no, but I can't promise they will either.
What's the language they speak there? What's
They use Bahasa Indonesia. So just Indonesian is the national language, but then they have 300 plus regional languages. They have more languages than anywhere in the world.
How fluent are you?
I tested at advanced was my level when I got out of there, but I'd say I can get around. It just depends on the subject matter.
Like, what can you say? If I gave you a phrase to say, you could say it?
Mungkin aku bisa sedikit bahasa Indonesia. Maybe I can speak a little.
There you go. Did you know Alabama Adriana speaks gibberish?
I did not. That's impressive.
Alabama Adriana, can you repeat his sentence in gibberish?
Mitigate, bitigi, it a guy could against bitigi, could a gay litigate to the goal.
Ooh.
See?
Yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
All right. Leave it right here. Tell me how you're consuming your sports. 503-417-7575. We're going to talk about Bull, Oregon Ducks, mystery, enigma. We'll talk about him later in the show. Also, we'll hear from an expert in the NBA who has some solutions for the Blazers. A lot of people talk about the problems that are that teams have. Hey, they need this. They need to do this. They need a power forward. They need a small forward. Very few people actually offer solutions. We'll be talking later in the show with somebody who has solutions for the Blazers. Also, for those of you out there who are interested, we will give you an update on the Oregon Ducks and Oregon State football seasons that are ahead. Important game, August 31st for Oregon against Auburn in the state of Texas. Is it true that if Oregon loses that game, it means the whole conference is out of the college football playoff picture? We'll talk about whether or not that is true later in the show. But I want to spin out of the interview that I just did with Travis Wershkowitz, who is a former member of this show. He was part of the crew 2+ years ago, worked a couple years on this radio program before we kicked him out and said, you're too smart to be here. You're a Mensa member. You need to go on and do something productive with your life. He joined the Peace Corps. You heard his interview. Maybe you didn't. But he talked about how they view American sports and the fact that here he was a world away from the Super Bowl, drinking free beer, eating corn dogs, felt like he was just as connected as anything because of technology. How do you watch your sporting events? What has changed for you over the years? Let's get real about your habits. Only you know your habits as a sports fan. I will be honest with you about my habits. I want to hear yours, though. How are you watching? How are you consuming your sports? Are you watching it all live? Are you on Twitter? And when you see that a game is getting interesting, do you then seek it out? Are you streaming? Are you a cord cutter? Are you somebody who has the NFL Sunday ticket on DirecTV and that's the only reason you have DirecTV? I want you to tell me how you're consuming your sports. 503-417-7575 is the number. Let's go out to the phone lines. Let's go to Dame in Tualatin, who's called in about consumption of sports. Go ahead, Dame.
Hey, John. Appreciate the show. Big fan here.
Thank you.
Just wanted to say my piece. I think you have to talk about social media and people's attention spans. I mean, you look back in history, people used to be able to watch baseball for hours. It was America's game. But nowadays, I mean, I turn a baseball game on. I can't watch it for more than an inning. Sometimes it takes 30 minutes, it feels like, just for the pitcher to, you know, decide the pitch in between pitches. But I think for basketball and something that's more high octane, a sport like that, that Blazer game, for instance, I couldn't take my eyes off of, and the finals as well, rooting for the Warriors dynasty to finally end. That was also another example of something I couldn't, you know, I could watch every second of that game. But a sport like baseball, I could see why people, you know, might check in on Twitter rather than just watch it all the way through.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Opens the line at 503-417-7575. Here's my viewing habits. I used to be that kid that would join the pregame show, watch the pregame show, watch the game, stay with the game. I'd leave the game on for the halftime analysis. I'd come back and watch the third quarter. Maybe at halftime I'm getting a snack or using the bathroom, but I'm back watching the game. I watched every second of an NFL game, and I picked one game. I was tuned into it. Fantasy sports, I thought, changed the way that I watched sports or consumed it, in that I found myself channel surfing a little more, checking up, you know, and now that you have the technology, you have the ability to be on a mobile app, or you have the Red Zone channel or the Fantasy Football channel where they're just showing you teams when they get in scoring position. I have found myself over the years kind of watching that. I'll be honest, too. It's rare when I watch a game that I'm not paid to watch wire to wire. Like, I watched every second of the Ducks NCAA tournament run and the Oregon Ducks women going to the Final Four. I couldn't take my eyes off it. Blazers in the playoffs. But a rank and file regular season game, I do find myself kind of checking in, second quarter, going to see what else is on. You know, I have daughters that are 3 and 5 now, and it's bath time for them. And then I'm kind of following on Twitter loosely. And then the game's getting interesting. And I've literally, on multiple occasions, as the kids are getting ready for bed, told my wife, I got to go. This game's late in the fourth quarter. And I go, and I'll go downstairs, and I'll turn the TV on just to watch the end of the game, because that's the most important part. How are you consuming sports? How has it changed over the years? 503-417-7575. Ben's in Beaverton. Ben, go ahead.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking the call. Well, for me, it's like the other caller alluded to. Like, when it comes to football, I'm going to watch pretty much wire to wire. If it's a team that I'm invested in, if it's, you know, something like, because I'm a transplant, my team is, you know, Arizona, you know, I'd rather jab hot pokers in my eyes than watch a Seattle game.
Right.
So, you know, with that, but, you know, like, the nice thing about football in the NFL is it's kind of appointment watching where you know the games are Thursday, Sunday, and Monday, and it's set. When it comes to, like, baseball and basketball, the games vary. So, yeah, I'll find myself channel surfing on those things. But I think Travis pointed out something that was incredibly astute, and we kind of just breezed over it, but I think it's something that happens is I like to watch the game live because I do like to experience the drama of the moment. And what he talked about is now people tend to weigh in their opinion on the moment.
Yeah.
And I think that's an incredibly astute way of looking at it because everybody seems to have opinion. But for me, I think you're really robbing yourself if you deny the opportunity to experience the moment. Because when I break it down, that Damian Lillard shot, the thing is I was completely relaxed in that moment because at that point the game was tied and I was like, he's going to launch it up, and no matter what happens, the worst thing is we're going to overtime. So to me, it was an amazing shot, but it was more of a relaxed shot, not nearly like it was when he hit the shot with the rocket.
Yeah, and I think you're right in that there is something about – there's something old school about seeing the moment as it was. Like, how many people saw the Damian Lillard 37-foot dagger? How many people saw it? Raise your hand. Not if you're driving. Just give me a nod. But – actually saw it, not a replay, not a day later from five angles, not on social media, but how many people were either in person or watching it on television and saw it? And I think in the Portland metropolitan area, you'd get a lot of people raising their hand. But I think you get the whole country who would tell you they saw that shot because they saw it on replay. And I don't know that if you had it on, you know, in a vacuum of only seeing it on replay or social media, that you would have the context of that game, the 50 points, how dominant he was, maybe the series, the season. You had to be following it from start to finish to truly appreciate how important. Like, the celebration afterwards wasn't just about him hitting a game-winning, series-ending shot. It was a catharsis for a franchise that had had trouble getting out of the first round and had entered that series with a 10-game losing
streak. We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.